Okay, I want to welcome everybody back from Pesach vacation. Bez Hashem, the shiur should be, we should be on for like straight through till Shavuos. Erev Shavuos itself, I don't know yet, but we'll see. But we're straight on Bez Hashem. And one of the things I have in the back of my head now during these weeks, the Maharal wrote an entire book on Matan Torah, like one book called Tiferes Yisrael, which I've always really wanted to learn, just that safer, so I'm not sure if it's my Yetzer Hara or my Yetzer Tov, but something wants me to like diverge a little bit from the parasha and talk a little bit more about that. But so this week I have one piece in the Tereso, which actually is connected very much to the parasha. So we'll see. But most of this week we're going to be learning straight from the parasha. So take a look at the first source discusses the fact that we know Parsha Shmini, we are consecrating the Mishkan. And it's the ceremony Parsha Shmini speaks about at the beginning, the ceremony of the sacrifices brought by both the Kohen Gadol as well as all of Klal Yisrael to dedicate and consecrate the Mishkan. And the Maharal wants to know why it is that the Jewish people brought two carbon olas. Take a look on page 310. Kara Moshe la'aron levana v'yomer la'aron kach lecha egel ben bakar l'chatzis v'ayel la'ola. Aaron had to bring one ayel ola. Aaron had to bring one ayel ola. I can't teach without my notes. Aaron had to bring one ayel ola. But then next pasuk gimel, they'll bnei yisrael to dabei lamar kechu sirizim lachatas ve'egel v'cheves bnei shana tamimim laola. The Jewish people brought two olas. Ah, good to see you, Reb Nissen. Welcome. So Aaron brought one ola. The Jewish people brought two olas. So the Maharal wants to know, why do the Jewish people have to bring two olos? Vim Tomar, first piece. Lame kriv yisrael shtei olos v'yish lomar. De ola achas al chid ha'egel. V'keves la'ola al machsheves ha'mechira. That they agreed to sell their brother Yosef. Achash yelame heviyu kapara al mechiras Yosef. That wasn't them, that was their grandparents, great-grandparents. Shari avosam chatu v'einam lame yizbuluhay. And why does Binyamin have to bring? Binyamin wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef. So look what he says here. Very beautiful. Well, not so beautiful, but very penetrating. Uvitaras Kohanim Amri Kotza Medrash. V'chimaro Yisrael Ahav Yosef Karben Ma'aron. Aaron brought only one ola. The Jews brought two olas. Ela Amar Lahem. Atem Yesh B'yedchem B'tchila V'yesh B'yedchem B'sof. The Medrash says, the Jewish people had a problem at the beginning of their formation, and the Jewish people had a problem at the end of their formation. Yesh b'yedchem b'tchila v'yishchatu se'irizim. That's the sale of Yosef. V'yesh b'yedchem basof asu lahem egel masecha. And at the end of their being created as a people, right when they left Egypt, they had another major sin, the sin of the golden calf. Yavo se'irizim v'yichabra ma'ase'izim, yavo egel v'yichabra ma'aseha egel. Adkan. Lufi dati shepherish in yenze explains the Maharal. Kichol davar yesh lo b'china mitzad haschalasa o mitzad shleimuso. Anything that is created, you have the beginning of its creation and the end of its creation. The Yisrael, Shemu and Bechlal, the entirety of the Jewish people, as the Maharal speaks about all the time. It's not just about, when the Jewish people were formed as a nation, it's not just about the Jewish people at that time. But at that time, at the beginning of the formation of the Jewish people as a nation, there were certain things being injected in the DNA of the Jewish people as a whole that was going to affect Judaism for all generations. Yesh lam haschala v'yesh lam shleimus. Haschalas na'i b'nei Yaakov. We started with the 12 tribes, the sons of Yaakov, those individuals. She'az nikru b'nei Yisrael. V'zeo haschalas. Now is the beginning, around the time of the sale of Yosef. U'shleimus na'i k'she yatsu mi Mitzrayim. She'az ha'i u'ma shleima. V'yesh chet b'hem yitzar haschalasan. So we had one sin at our beginning and one sin at the end. The sin at our beginning was the sin of the sale of the brothers of Yosef. And then at the end, when we left Egypt, we had another major sin, the sin of the golden calf. The Maharal says, I've just touched the edge of the plate over here, just the edge of the fork. And there's many, many deep ideas here. Now, so I was trying to think about what lessons we can learn from this, but it seems like you know, the Jewish people in our creation, so we had one major sin, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, one major sin, Bein Adam L'Makom, and those sins we still carry with us to this day. Just two examples of the fact that we still carry these sins. So one, Rabbeinu Manoach and the next source on the Rambam says the reason why we have karpas at the Seder, everybody asks, why do we have karpas at the Seder? So the Gemara says we have karpas at the Seder. Why? So the kids should ask. That's what the Gemara says. That's where we have karpas at the Seder. So delving a little bit more deeply, there's a Rabbeinu Manoach in his commentary on the Rambam. You see over here in the source, Rabbeinu Manoach says the reason we dip karpas in the Seder into soul order is to remember the coat of many colors that Yosef's brothers dipped into blood. And why is that at the Seder? It's at the Seder because if we're trying to fix this, if we're trying to remember why we went down to Egypt, so we need to fix the whole reason why we had to go down to Egypt in the first place. What sent us down to Egypt in the first place was Yosef's brothers' hatred for him. It was the hatred of brothers against each other. And there's a lot of themes on Pesach about brothers trying to reach out. That's why the very first halach of Pesach is Moschitim, and it's why we start the Seder out with Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechol. It's the first thing we say, try to bring people together. We were created as a people, but our creation as a people, even from the very, very beginning, was fraught with Mechiras Yosef. There are Gemaras, I didn't quote them, but the Gemaras that said that the Churban happened because of the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. We mentioned it in the davening on Yom Kippur, you know, and then we did about what? Yeah, it's mentioned in there also. Al Michron Bakesef Tzadik, correct? It's mentioned in there. So we still suffer. So just, I think point number one is obviously Sinas Chinam is on our heads all the time. The second Beis HaMikdash, well, we're still in Nisan. We could still hope for a rebuilding. We're looking for a rebuilding. So this is one thing that's been with the Jewish people. So in not only was it with us already in our very creation, and not only every Pesach night we again remember it, but in other words, it's got to be something that's always on our minds, Sinas Chinam. So that's why in the ceremony of the dedication of the Mishkan, which was going to be that house that was going to sustain the Jewish people throughout hundreds of years and thousands of years, so we're always reflecting on this sin of Mechiras Yosef. Very, very fascinating. And not only that, but also the sin of the golden calf. I have for you over here two sources. That's the Iker, the primary sin, Bein Adam L'Makom, of doubt, right? That's doubt in the Ribbono Shlom. Doubt in Moshe Rabbeinu, doubt in the Ribbono Shlom from the very beginning, right when we left Egypt. There was this doubt that plagues the Jewish people about their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and Chazal say, you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ein l'chal kol peranus v'peranus shebal olam she'en ba echad me'esem v'arba ba'achrei ha'litra shel egel ha'risham. Very perplexing. Again, then the next one, Shmos Rab, Amar Rasi, similar idea. These are the two Midrashim that I found. Ein dor v'dorish in otel ukiyam imayse ha'egel. Two sources in Chazal which seem to say that every single bad thing that happens to the Jewish people throughout the entirety of Jewish history is a slight payback for Chet ha'egel. What exactly that, you know, that means, what's the significance of that? You know, it's just somehow that these two sins are just, they're staying with us throughout all of history. And I just think that the idea is that basically you could split all of sin into two categories, between man and man, between man and God. And when the Jewish people were created, it's almost like in our very DNA, we had these are our, I think what the Maharal is trying to say here is that if you had to lump the you know, generally, the main struggles that are on our mind, the main struggles Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the main struggles Bein Adam L'Makom, always wondering, is God going to be there? Is he going to be there or not? You know, the whole Chet Egel, after 4 days saying, where is he? Where is he? When I need him, where is he? You know, he's gone. We're supposed to be back. This was supposed to happen. What's going on? And when we feel like God has turned away, that we turn to other things. So this is something that's always on our mind, and it's kind of like in the DNA of it's part of Orthodox life. You have to worry about your relationship with your fellow man. You have to always worry about your relationship with Hashem, and that's why already in the establishment of the Mishkan, these two sins are sort of like what we always have to continuously and grapple with.
You didn't answer
though, Binyamin. No, so I think the reason why Binyamin is because it wasn't just about those people. This was about the Jewish people in its entirety. And this is part of our DNA. Whether it wasn't about Binyamin as an individual, as the Maharal said before, thank you, Uri, for pointing that out. Maharal said other places, this, you know, that it's not about those individuals, but when it comes to the Avos and the Shvatim, it was setting a tone for all of the Jewish people. Now, the next thing I want to address in the Maharal, hold on one second. Okay, apologize. Well, to do this source, I got to go get another Sefer. Oh, there's a copy back there. I brought one in my locker. Hold on. Where is it? Because I probably my DBS, so I just one second. I have a copy over here. Unfortunately, it got erased, and though I try to reprogram it, I need like a different disk, and you can only get it in Israel and whatever it is. So my kid is going back this week. I'm hoping within the next week or two to get that back to normal. So I have to bring this safer because the database that I use for this Books of the Maharal, it's not working on my computer. So anyway, I apologize about the interruption, but the Maharal and its commentary on Pirkei Avos has really a very, very powerful discussion about Aaron's being quiet, right? This is something we speak about all the time, that Aaron lost his children in the dedication, and the Torah goes out of its way to say, Vayidom Aaron. You know, the Torah calls our attention to this, that in the face of unspeakable tragedy, perhaps the worst tragedy that a person could possibly go through, the loss of children, the loss of righteous children, of special children, who I obviously spent a lot of time raising. So the Maharal, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, talks about this a little bit. And he says it about the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis. I want to read you the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says like this. And this is talking about study of Torah, so connected to preparing for Shavuos. The Mishnah says, "Shnayim sheyoshen v'yesh b'neim divrei Torah, shechina shuri b'neim." Two people sitting and studying Torah, the shechina is amongst them. Right? We got to remember that every Friday morning when we're over here. If there's two people studying Torah together, so the shechina is shuri b'neim. Shnemar oz nidbru yirei Hashem v'isha rei v'ayakshu v'shem v'yishma v'ayikasev seif is yikar l'fanav v'yirei Hashem l'chol shrei shemo. Ein li'ela shnayim minayin shafilu echad sheyoshev osik b'torah. Even if there's one person sitting and being osek b'Torah, Shakadosh Baruch Hu kovea lo schar, that Hashem sets for himself a reward, Shenemar, quotes a pasuk in Eicha, Yeshev badad v'yidom ki natal olav. One who sits alone and is silent, v'yidom, ki natal olav. He has taken all of his reward. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Maharal talks about this. And he says as follows. You're going to have to listen. I apologize. You don't have the text in front of you. Now, I'm always very careful. I'm making sure you see the whole text. I can't fake you on anything. So he says like this. V'omar. Afil echad sheyoshev osek v'torah kodesh baruch v'hovei loschar. Even one person sitting and studying Torah by himself, God right away sets for himself a certain reward. V'afki. So first, yeah. The pasuk is not talking about somebody who's learning Torah. It's talking about someone who accepts upon himself all malchus shemayim. Nevertheless, says the Maharal, the pasuk is trying to teach me that someone who sits and studies Torah, that's called someone who's mekabel of all malchus shemayim. The siv tov lagever ki yisa ol b'nu'urav. Uperish hakosav. Ki tov lagever, it's great for a person, Hashem, a kabbal of all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who accepts upon himself the yoke of Hashem, v'hu yoshev badad v'yidom. A person who sits alone and is silent. Ki natal alav klom Hashem, notel u'makabal alav gzeres Hashem Yisparach. So the first point I wanted to make to you is this line. V'ein l'cha yoshev she'makabal alav gzeres Hashem Yisparach k'mo shemi she'yoshev b'osek patorah. Someone who sits by himself and studies Torah, there is no greater accepting upon yourself the decrees of Hashem than someone who by himself sits alone and studies Torah alone. Ki haTorah hi gzeiras Hashem Yisparach al ha'adam lasok b'Torah v'lios amal ba. There's this decree from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that every person is supposed to spend some time, take some time on his own, and sit and study Torah on his own at his own time. And that is the ultimate example of a person accepting upon himself the yoke of Torah. Here he says, no, this is not talking about general acceptance of mitzvahs. It's specifically about the mitzvah of sweating and toiling in the study of Torah. Why? Mitzvahs, you get up and you do. So it doesn't make sense to say the pasuk yeshev badad v'yidom. You're sitting alone and you're silent. Rak v'torah, it's not called an asiya. The Rabbi Hartman on the bottom goes into lengthy discussions about why the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is called just sitting and being quiet, and all the other mitzvahs means you're going up and doing. But for now, I don't want to go into that right now. He's accepting upon himself the decree of Hashem. God commanded us to sit by ourselves, even if we're alone, and study Torah. He's mekabel of gzeiras Hashem ba'ava. Ubevadai, kol mi shemekabel gzeiras Hashem yisparach, anyone who accepts upon himself the decree of Hashem, hu roi l'tashlumin, he's mekabel skar right away. So that's one thing. V'chol olhu ikar avoda, v'chol avoda hu omed l'tashlumin. Whenever a person serves Hashem in this way, he gets payment right away. U'me'achash ha'chaz v'amra tov l'gever ki yisa ol ben ura v'amra achakach yeshev badad v'yidom klom ha'kasha yoshev yechidi. When a person sits by himself and he accepts upon himself the gzev Hashem yisparach v'zeu ha'ol v'zeu k'fiyas ha'scha. Stop. So that's point number one. He's highlighting the tremendous reward that a person who sits and studies Torah, even by himself, the best is to learn the Chavrusa, it sounds like, because then the Shekhinah is with you. But even if you sit and learn by yourself, that's being makabel upon yourself, the yoke of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you get Tzchar right away. Now, Chazal have said about Aaron, so that's the very next line here in the Maharal's commentary on Pirkei Avos. V'chein timtza etzel Aaron, shekasev etzlo vayidom Aaron. And the same thing where it says about Aaron that he... When this terrible decree was passed upon him, this terrible decree, the Torah calls attention to the fact, Vayidom Aaron, he was silent. Shekibel midas Hashem yisparach b'demima, and he accepted the decree of Hashem with silence. Umiyad kibel schar. So right away, the Torah talks about the fact that Aaron got tremendous reward. Aaron got tremendous reward for being silent in the face of the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemosha Darshi, right, there's a Rashi. You take a look at Rashi, you can see one expression of this inside, right? Take a look at the Pasuk. Page 313, Vayidom Aaron, top of the page. Page 313. I think Rashi somewhere talks about how he got schar for this. Where is the Rashi? Vayikram Moshe al Mishal, it's on Kua, right? Vayikravu. Right, the next Pasuk. I think Rashi quotes. Oh, here it is. Oh yeah, Vayidom Aaron, right. Look on the fourth line in Rashi on page 313. Vayidom Aaron, Kibel Schar al Shtikaso, Rashi says. Kibel Schar al Shtikaso. As the Torah is highlighting, the Torah could have just gone on. It didn't have to say, and he was silent. It didn't have to say he was silent. If the Torah just wouldn't have recorded that he said anything, we also would have known he was silent. Why is the Torah saying, Vayidom Aaron? He said, because it was a big deal. It was a big deal that Aaron was silent. So says Rashi, Kibel schar al shtikaso. Umas schar, Kibel, what's the reward? So here Chazal have a disagreement. What exactly was the reward? Shenesiachin imo hadibush, nemer lo levada pasha shesuya yayin. That apparently the parsha, right, look at the very next pasuk, pasuk ches. Vaydaber Hashem el Aaron lemar, yayin v'shecha al tesh. Like, you tell the kids in the high school, what was the big reward? that God said the parasha of Shesuyai and only to him. Wow, that's some reward. That's some reward. God spoke only to him. He left Moshe out of it. He spoke only to Aaron. But when you're talking about God himself, apparently, you know, God comes just to you and cares just about you and shows you that he respects what you didn't say. It's God himself. It's not like, you know, whatever, somebody else. So Chazal say one place, I'm just continuing the Maran that you don't have in front of you. The Chayin Tim says, Aaron, Vayidom Aaron, Shekibo Midas Hashem Yisparach B'dimimu, Miyad Kibo Schar, Kamo Shador Shal Kach Omar Achra, Vayidabar Hashem El Moshe Vol Aaron, Leimor Omar, Sheyomar Lo Lazavi Li Samar, Oein El Om Yisrael, etc. So he had right away. Why? He says, Ulufikach, Hare Kabbalah Sagzeiro, Hu Royal Lekabal Schar B'yoser. When you accept upon yourself God's decree, then you are worthy of extra merit, extra schar. If you had life difficult for you, and you're accepting it, you accept it, you have challenges, and you accept it, so you get schar. There's a special schar for a person who's vayidom, who's quiet in the face of God's difficulty. We just celebrated yesterday, commemorated Yom HaShoah. We had some survivors here who spoke yesterday with such incredible strength and power. They kept on saying, we don't know why God did what he did, but we accept upon it the decree, and I've lived my life with my faith. And the kids asked him, how did you keep your faith through such dark times? And they said, we don't know how we kept it, but we just kept it. We just kept on going. We said, we don't understand, we don't know. From concentration camp to concentration camp. And it's really incredible if you think of the people who did. I just heard so beautifully. We had here Rav Viter, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva HaKotel, who was also lost 5 siblings in the Holocaust. So he said he once spoke about it with Rav Nevensal at his wedding. So Rav Nevensal told him, the Psukim in Yecheskel say that God creates a Chilul Hashem sometimes. God hides himself. He allows his name to be trampled. God creates a Chilul Hashem. But our job is to create a Kiddush Hashem. He said that God sometimes arranges a Chilul Hashem, but even in the face of, and again, we're not judging anybody who didn't. We're not coming to pass judgment. But our job in the face of tragedy is to try to find the strength to make a Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name, to follow God, Afal Pikein. We ask the questions, we don't understand, but somehow we are supposed to, and we're commanded to, and we're obligated to try even through the darkness to find God speaking to us through darkness, and then to be called upon to make the incredible sacrifice and to attach ourselves even in that case. We learned this from Aaron HaKohen in this week's parasha. Vayidom Aaron, Chazal say he got schar right away. And again, just to finish this up, Harei Kabal Sagzera Hu Roy LeKabal Schar B'Yoser Ulefikach Amar. And therefore, it also says the Maral connects these two vayidoms, Yeshiv Badad Vayidom. Ulefikach Amar SheEchad SheYoshiv Osek BaTorah Koveh Lo Schar. The Maral connects. It's really pretty. Striking. I mean, again, I could spend the next 30 minutes just talking about this, but I have like 20 other things to say. But the Maharal connects someone being quiet in the face of tragedy of losing children to one person sitting and studying Torah by himself. Both are accepting upon yourself the gzeir of Hashem, obviously in radically different ways, but it's just, to me, an incredible comparison that he says here, and again, which requires a lot more elaboration, which I'm not going to give you. I'm going to leave it dangling for you to cogitate on your own. Ulufikach amar, she'echad she'yoshev v'osek b'torah koveh lo schar. V'dover zev v'nei she'yoshev yechidi v'osek b'torah, v'zeo kabalas gzeiraso, asher gazar olav. This is accepting, it's the same accepting of God's decree. We're supposed to sit and study Torah. V'zeh roi l'schar dafka. U'mikol shkin kan d'chsiv, tov la'gever k'yisa ol min u'rav, etc., etc., etc. Again, he talks about this a lot, but I'm going to leave it for your imagination. The rest, u'mekabal b'zeh g'zeh rosa yisparach, asher gozav ol lasos, v'chol g'zeh v'chol ol hu niska b'vadeh b'tor. Okay, that's that point. Let's go back to what you do have in front of you. So now, the next piece of Maral. The next piece of Maral has 4 important lessons. 4 important lessons in one piece. So, again, this week's shiur, you know, We're giving a lot and not elaborating. So for the half of you that like when we do that more, this is your week. For the half of you that like when we do one thing or two things each week and sit and really grind it out each piece, I apologize. Maybe next week will be more your week. But I can never predict it. Anyway, Maharal says like this. So there's a major discussion. What was the sin of Nadav and Avihu? Major, major, major discussion among Chazal. At least four or five opinions. I mean, if you look in the Chumash, it sounds like Bahakrivam Eish Zara. They brought some fire that wasn't supposed to be brought. But some say from the fact that the very next paragraph talks about you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash when you're drunk, so it has to do with the fact, so something was also mixed in there that they went into the Kodesh HaKadosh when they were drunk. That was why the Eish Zara was Eish Zara, was because they brought it when they were drunk. And if you're drunk, you can't be Jewish. So says the Maharal. When you're drunk, you can't be holy. Take a look at the first source over here, okay? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shesuye Yayin Nichnasu. Pirish Mefnei Shai Shesuye Yayin Haya Eisha Biyadam Zara. Oh, yeah, he says, since they were drunk, that's why it was considered to be not accepted fire. The H was Eish Zara. Just look at the bolded part. Lufikach Sova Shenichnasu Shesuye Yayin V'davar Zehu Gorei Misa Pidom. That's what caused them to die suddenly. Ki ein hamigdash sovel hashichrus, because the Beis Hamigdash cannot tolerate drunkenness. Lefishehu hepech hakedusha, because drunkenness is the opposite of sanctity, is the opposite of holiness. And it goes on to you have other stuff there for homework. So again, point number one that he develops here, and Rabbi Hartman develops in the notes also, that one who is drunk is not in control, and a lot of Judaism has to be involved, especially Kedusha, has to be being fully cognizant and being able to separate between that which is holy and that which is unholy, to control oneself. Judaism is a lot about controlling yourself. It's a lot about having your head on your shoulders and knowing what's right and what's wrong and knowing what you do and what you don't do, and you can't just go along with the flow. And when you're drunk, you basically go with the flow. And that is the opposite of Kedusha. And he stresses this a few other times. Lesson number two in this idea. It's interesting that, you know, around Mamon Har Sinai, in the next paragraph, he discusses around Mamon Har Sinai, the Torah says, Vayechazu Elokim Vayochlu Vayishtu. There's something happened at Mamon Har Sinai that Nadav and Avihu, they were among the people, they looked at God, Vayochlu Vayishtu, and there was some there, and God said, you know, really, they deserve punishment forever. I'm going to wait until the Mishkan that they, and I'm going to punish them then. But the problem is, they did another thing wrong by the Mishkan. So, which one was it? Was it because of what they did at Har Sinai, or was it because of what they did at the time of the dedication of the Mishkan, a few months later, at Rosh Chodesh Nisan? So, what was it? So he says, the Imtama, look at the next bolded section. Imkein lohi gil lamaonish al estaklis b'shchina. So the fact that they looked at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they didn't get any punishment. They would have died anyway because of the sin they did at HaKamas HaMishkan. So how can you tell me that God says, no, I'm not going to punish them, I'm going to wait until... He didn't want to stare the Simcha of Mount Torah, so he delayed their punishment until later. But wait, but they sinned again later. So what's going on? So he says, Ein Zekasha, Dezos Avera Garo HaAvera BaKamas HaMishkan, Kein Yira Nachan V'Ikar. So he invokes the famous principle of Avera Goreres Avera. He says, no, because one Avera caused the other Avera. The first Avera of looking at God caused the other Avera of thinking that you're too close and thinking that you could just run into the Mishkan. Avera Goreres Avera. This is a very important yisod in Yiddishkeit of Avera Goreres Avera, that when a person sometimes finds himself in a downward spiral. So one distancing himself from Hashem leads to another distancing. Because once you do an Avera, it's not just the Avera that you did, but it's not just the X that you get in Shemayim for that one Avera. When a person does an Avera, it lowers him spiritually. It distances himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it makes him more likely to do another Avera, because there's a result from the sin. Avera goreres Avera. Because Avera isn't just a thing you did wrong, but it contaminates you. Sin contaminates you, and once you're contaminated, you're more likely to sin again. And that's why it's so important to reverse the downward spiral, to just grab onto something, even a little, even when a person finds himself in a downward spiral, it's a person to just try to grab onto something small that's good, just grab yourself something good to try to reverse the trend, to try to get the trend going in the other direction. And the last incredible, incredible, again, the Maharal is talking here about foundational ideas in all of Judaism. That's why I couldn't pass them up. So I'm shooting. I know I'm shooting them at you a little bit machine gun style today. So I apologize to those people who don't like that. But the next piece is all within one piece. He asked the following kasha now. Already a few parshas ago in Sefer Shemos, the end of Sefer Shemos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about the Mishkan, V'nikdash b'chvodi, I'm going to be sanctified by those who are great righteous people. He's going to kill those people who are very, very holy. So wait, Hashem said that already in the Chumash before Nadav and Avihu actually sinned. Doesn't that mean they didn't have free choice to sin? The famous age-old question, if God knows the future, do I really have free choice? God knows what I'm gonna choose to do tomorrow. That means I have to do it. No? Says the Maharal, no problem. The famous answer that Pirkei Avos already gives to this, and it's already in Pirkei Avos, and the Maharal quotes it over here, and you should see what the Maharal says in his commentary on Pirkei Avos about this, but not now the time to go into all that, because we're shooting machine gun style this morning. Va'afal, look at the bottom. You hear the kasha? I have to at least stop long enough that you understand the question. The question is, if at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, when Hashem is commanding about the Mishkan, he says the words, V'nikdash b'chvodi, and Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, Aaron, I knew that somebody was going to die, but I didn't know it was going to be me or you. Now that I see your kids died, they're even greater than both of us. So it's mashma that it's not because of any sin that they died, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever reason, needed to bring these sacrifices even without the sin. So then he answers, no. It means that he knew they were going to sin. So if he knew they were going to sin, did they really have the free choice not to sin? So there he says on the bottom, look at the bold part. The bottom, Ein Zeh Kush, that's not a problem. Shekvar Amru Chazal. The rabbis already in Pirkei Avos addressed this issue. Hakol Tzafoi V'Harishus Nesunah. Mishnah Pirkei Avos. It's not a contradiction. We have the total free choice to be Tzadik V'Rishayim. God just happens to have seen the movie already. He saw the movie of your life already. He just happens to know which choice you're going to, because God is not bound by time. He knows what choice you're going to make. You have the total free ability to choose. He just knows in advance which choice you're going to make. Says the Maharal, that's not a contradiction to say you didn't have free choice to do it. God gives you the full free choice. He just knows which decision you're going to make in advance of the decision. Hakol tapir she'afal gav shakash brokot sofa. See the skulam bikomalkam ein adam mukhruk v'masav el arushus asunu l'las mashirza v'ze nimsa b'chama makomos. Okay, two final lessons and then we are done for this week. Except it's two pages long of two final lessons. I'll have to figure out how that's going to work. But okay, so the last two lessons. One of them is a lesson about chinuch. One that I violate every week when I give you this shir. And that is that he says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the Jewish people about which animals are kosher and which animals are not kosher, so that parsha begins with the words, Zos HaBehema. Very interesting. That Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zos HaBehema. Let's turn to it so you can see it inside. You don't got to believe me. Don't believe me. Take a look at what it says inside. Where do we have that? Zosachaya, page 315, Perek Yud Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'Aaron lemor, kashrus, which animals are kosher, which are not kosher. Dabru b'nei Yisrael lemor, zosachaya asher tochelu. Ach, pasuk dalet, ach ezeh lo tochlu. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, this teaches us that when Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching the laws of kashrus people, he actually took the animal and showed it and said, this animal is okay, and the other one is not okay. Take a look at the top Maharal. B'tzarach litein tam. Why did Moshe use visual symbols only here? But when he talked about lulav, he didn't grab a branch off the tree and say, this is a lulav, this is an esrog. When he talked about shofar, he didn't grab the ram and say, this is the am we do. Why specifically over here? So basically, to summarize what he says is that, well, this is very complicated. There's kosher animals and non-kosher animals. There's tahar, creepy crawly things, and there are tame, creepy crawly things. That some of them make you tame, some of them don't make you tame. So he had to show them, he had to make sure that they wouldn't get confused, because you had that and its opposite. So it's a lesson for teachers that when people are teaching, that they have to make sure that the people who are listening to them are not confused. And if it's a confusing topic, they have to use visual aids. Use visual aids to make sure that the students know exactly what you're talking about. By the way, that is one of the reasons why I try to have everything typed out for you every week, that you should see what we're talking about. I like that you should have it clear, that there shouldn't be confusion. And if you are confused, you can take home afterwards and you can read it inside yourself. And again, I don't always get it exactly right, but at least you have the from the horse's mouth. I like to teach, you know, with the sources. So I can't manipulate them. It's right there. And finally, the last piece that he talks about. The Torah talks about the, and by the way, two things. First of all, this is from Tiferes Yisrael, his book about all the mitzvahs, and this is very powerful. This is actually review. We discussed this piece already when we did on Parashas Parah. Zos Chukas HaTorah, where he talked about how stuff, what contaminates. Beautiful, beautiful piece of Maharal, which is too long for us to do all of it. We'll just do the highlights. Take a look inside the Chumash, because you have to see the Pasuk inside. At the very end of the Parasha, where, so, the Torah says, don't eat these bugs, right? You can't eat these bugs. Al tishaktu es nafsho sechem, b'chol hasheretz hasheretz. V'lo titam ubahem. Don't defile yourselves with them. V'nitmesem bam. Because you will become tame from eating these things. Take a look at the Maral. Perak amalam alamune. V'nitmesem bam. Tana Rabbi Shmuel. Avera mitamtein libo shel adam. Shenema al titam ubahem v'nitmesem bam. Al tikra vinitmesem, don't read it as you shall be defiled, ela vinitamtembam. You will become all stopped up, all blocked. Hare kilo amurak avera mitamtem libashal adam. And the next two pages, which you can do for homework, basically say one thing. And they say that it is not eating treif that defiles you. It's not that pig is inherently unhealthy. The Torah is not just a book of health, but sin is what defiles. It's the fact that God, as if their wisdom, decided that this is bad for you, and he told you you can't do it, that's what defiles, that's what brings a person down. It's the distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that defiles a person. It's not the act of the sin per se. It's not the eating of the pig that makes you tame, that makes you it's unhealthy, and it makes you defiled, and makes you bad, and brings upon you problem, but it's the sin. If you take a look at the next paragraph, why is it that if you touch a dead person, you become tame? Not because there's anything voodoo or spooky or the bad spirits that are on the dead person. No, it's because God decreed that when you touch that you're going to be defiled. It's because the Torah says so. Here's the Maharal showing incredible respect and belief in the mitzvot HaTorah. Aval she'yeh davar zeh tivi, that it's natural. That it's natural that when you come in contact with a dead body, there's going to be germs or stuff that's going to defile you. He says it's ridiculous. Rak ki kach ha-seder shel Hashem Yisparach la'adam b'chachmaso. No, God decreed that if you touch a dead body, you can't eat kachim. And a kohen is not permitted to do it. U'mitzad ha-chok, Shushayach la'adam ha'meis metamed ha'mayim metarim. U'mepnei kach ein lahar achar zeh. So don't try to figure out reasons why if you touch a dead body. Ki amok amok miyim tzainu. Ki ein ha'torah tivis. Shilu ha'is ha'torah tivis. Ha'ya zeh kasha ma'inyin ha'tumah v'atara. What in the world's going on? You might ask yourself, what in the world does this mean? Like, I touch this, I get the cooties. What is this? I touch this dead body, I become defiled, no one can touch me. What's going on? It doesn't make any sense. Aval ein zedavar tivi klal. It's not nature. Raku seder sichli. It's God's world. V'im ki eino yodea, eino mevin in achok hazeh. You don't understand it. Halo atorah lo nitnarak tzarif habrios. V'atzir fazeh hu la'adam bein yodea tam shel mitzvah o lo yodea. You become refined and purified by following mitzvah Torah, whether you understand why it works and how it works, or you don't understand. Rak asher ma'isvinim shachem achar aseder asichli ma'ashroilo ubezem ma'isv k'moshroilo fi asichli v'utzerev chichuk nafsho min ativi k'moshes bar ki atorah he seder asichli shroilo adam mashu adam v'idei mitzvus davak besichli v'idei zed davak bo yisparach. The mitzvus are the way we cling to God. V'zeu d'chsev, and this is where we studied it, Rabotai. You remember that shiur, if you go back to it. Zos chukas ha-Torah. That's what the Torah is. It's our way of life. If you understand it, great. If you don't understand it, that's also great. It's the way we're supposed to conduct our lives. This is the Maharal's subjugating our intellect and logic to the Ratzon Hashem, to the Dvar Hashem. Yeah, and again, there he explained, it's good to understand what you can understand. But even if you don't understand, this is our way, we're avadim. Kfar amayinu sh'afim en yodeh alon, en yodeh alonu tam v'sibah kol davar v'davar. Shnim tzidvad alamu kach mikomokam yodeh alonu sh'en davar echad v'atala. By the way, here's the Maharal agreeing to the Rambam's formulation against Rashi that even those mitzvahs that we don't understand, there is a reason for them, we just don't get it. I'm way over time. Okay, you're going to have to do the rest for homework. He goes on and on and on of this beautifully explaining about the fact that mitzvos are not based on nature. Rather, the mitzvos are there to purify us, to make us better people, whether we understand it or not. So, I know I threw a lot at you. We talked about how Bein Adam L'Amakom, Bein Adam L'Chaver are fundamental to all of the Jewish people. And we have to understand that if we struggle with Bein Adam L'Chaver and we struggle with Bein Adam L'Amakom, so this is something that's part of our DNA as a nation. And that means we have to constantly battle that. And that's part of being a Jew, is constantly battling that. And studying Torah by yourself is the same kind of accepting of God's decree as terrible tragedy. And for both, we get reward right away. And drunkenness has no place in Judaism. And Aveira Goreris, Aveira we talked about. And we talked about that man has free choice even if God already knows the future. And the last two things we spoke about is how a teacher has to have very, very clear, very, very clear examples if it's a confusing topic. And finally, that sin corrupts and it's distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we said before, it's not natural that tray food is bad for you. It's because God said it. And hopefully we should read this parsha and try to reconnect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His Torah and learn the lessons as the Maharal learns about Yiddishkeit from the old parsha. Until that time, when we'll all be zocha to feel that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shouldn't have to suffer anymore from the sin of the Mechiras Yosef, as we learn the importance of loving each one of Klal Yisrael. We shouldn't feel the distance of the Chet HaEgel, that God is not close to us. We don't have that closeness. Hopefully, if we can learn these lessons, we'll feel that closeness once again. May that day come. Meher of Yamin, Amen, Amen. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Mertha Kosh Brochel, Zakos, Israel, Tikhir, Walton, Torment, Shamar, Adonai Chafetz, Samar, Tikhir, Yagdil, Torah, Yadir.